We need therefore a man who has just this experience, call a man in every life. He is to all intents and purposes a man like us, with the same two eyes, same outer conception and the same inner conception, but he has dwelt in that way. Only with them we can have the right report of the scriptures, because they contain the sayings of the masters who saw God and gave out. If you would like to understand those at the level of intellect, well, you cannot know God. For instance, what the intellectual will say. They say God is light, they say, well, God is intellectual light. Well, it is substantial light, all masters have referred to it. So when we need somebody who has solved the mystery of life and can also help us in solving the mystery of life. And what is that? Just to rise above body consciousness. Such a master are a man you may address by any name you like, who has known himself and known God. He says us, well, look, you're a man, you are dwelt physically, you are a man, you have got physical body, you have got intellect, you are spirited man, conscious entity, you are advanced physically, wonderfully. We have got so many systems of the medical lines, you see. There are Ayurvedic, there are Yunani system is there, allopathic is there, homeopathic, electronic treatments, naturopathy, and so on. We have also dwelt as family life, and our social life, political life. You see, with all that we are not happy. Because we have to care for our own self, for our own families, for our own classes or schools of thought, or for our own country, the result is clash between man and man, family and family, religion and religion, and country and country. All this is due to not having the right understanding, as I tell you. Remain where you are. All schools of thought or religion are meant for the same purpose. To remain in some religion is a blessing. But to remain in some religion, not to rise above the body consciousness and have the right understanding and live up to them, there's conflict. So, physically we advance wonderfully. We have got intellect and we have also advanced intellectually. Very wonderful inventions we have got. You can hear things from thousands of miles through radios. You can see also man who is speaking through television. You can go around the world in an hour or so. The world has become very small. I'm here from the other part of the world before you. The result, what it is now, we are trying to reach the moon too. Then are we happy? For want of right understanding, we are not happy. Our intellects have gone to just invent hydrogen bombs and uranium bombs. At any moment this atomic war commences, the world will end. We are all afraid of. Had we known our own self and known the same spirit of mind in everybody and the same controlling power controlling everybody in the body, said, who would have gone to just use this weapon for killing others? No, love God. God resides in every heart. Well, when you know the spirit of the, we are of the same as that of God, and the very God is the controlling power residing within every heart, are we going to kill or harm anyone? If I say I love you and kill you, can I kill your sons, children? Not the least. And the Master tells us, if you do not know, love your brothers, whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? These are very clear cut, very simple way, truths, which needs no philosophy to prove, common sense talk. But we have forgotten. The Master tells us, we need somebody, he says, what does he say then? He sees from the level of man body or the level of the embodied soul. He says all are children of God. They have pity on them because they have forgotten themselves and their own true home. They come to awaken them. They say, awake, O man. You bought the man body within the time of your awakening to your own self and to know God. If you do not awaken now, when will you awake? If you say you are of the same essence as that of God, the same controlling power residing in your body, why have you forgotten it? Why the two brothers living in the same house cannot talk with each other? The reason is that our souls are just identified with the outward, outgoing faculties and given up to the enjoyments of pleasure. So they have pity on their souls. They are children of God, their true home is the two whom are the fathers, they awaken and have pity on them, you see. He says, God is all wisdom. You should also be wise, because you are of the same essence as that of God. But you are behaving like a foolish man. You have to leave the body. Who is to leave the body and where to go? You must see these things by foresight. But you are just asleep from within, wide awake from outside at the level of the outgoing faculties. They say, awake. We are sleeping somewhere from within. The very controlling power is within us. Soul and God are sleeping in the same bed, you might say. But soul is just under the control of mind, under the control of outward faculties, identified with the outward pleasure so much so that is awake from outside and asleep from within. If soul is liberated, analyzed, rise above these senses, they will see the God is there already. This is what the Master says. And if you want to wake up a man who is very far sleeping, what does he need? Somebody to shake him up. Who is awake? So if a man is standing, you see, all others are sleeping around him. When you say, I am in society of an awakened man, he can make all others awake by the shaking, as you see, by calling them, by giving louder voices. Similarly, if there is a doctor, there are 100 students around him, you can say in the company of a doctor, or he can make all others doctors. Similarly, if you come across by somebody in the way, well, what will he do? He can wake you up. Call any man, such man, by any name you like, but we need this need of somebody in the waking. And what do they say? How can you come out of this delusion? They say one thing. Just step out of this boat of man's body. And you will see what is what. So they always start, learn to die so that you may begin to live. What is death? At the time of death you see, perhaps you must have noticed somebody dying. The life withdraws from the underneath, comes to the back of the eyes, then the eyes are upturned. And then the dark seed comes. So the seat of the soul in the body is back the eyes. At the time of death, we do come up there, but we don't want to come up now. While alive, learn to die so that you may begin to live. And all other masters say that. To come out of this delusion only if you know how to die, that's all. Prophet Muhammad told some of the disciples, he says, "Oh friend, if you like to have an everlasting life, just go learn to die." The same thing you find in all scriptures, I tell you. The difference is that those are given in different languages, with your equivalent at the time when those masters came in their countries. He said, "When you hear that the question told the disciple Lord, will this death lead me to the grave when I'm dying, afraid of dying?" Very name of death puzzles a man, you see. But there's no other escape. I'll have to leave your body someday, sooner or later. Whether it's young or old or anything. So he told him, "Look here, it is not such a death that will lead you to the grave, but will lead you from darkness to light. So for that reason, what you should do, go, learn to die, so that you may have everlasting life. And this is you can do while it's bad for you." And the Kabir says, all men are dying from day to day. But if they die in such a way, they will never return. So while alive, it is better to learn to die so that you may have everlasting life. The same words in their own language I am quoting. So is it possible? Dharma Hussein says, well, die before you have the death. And the Guru Nanak says, well, die 100 times a day, not once. These are very, I mean, startling statements made, but it is so, it is possible, it is definite. And you find the proofs thereof. Saint Paul says, "I die daily." Well, how did he die? Well, that is the lost enemy that we have to conquer. Well, this is a question which affects one and all. We have died various religions to have this fear of death gone. How can you have victory over that? There's no escape from it. Only you must know how to die. And it is the masters, I tell you, who give you this experience the very first day. The greatness of a master lies in the fact not in giving you lectures, talks, asking you to just say prayers this way or that way or perform certain rites and rituals in a certain way. This any man can do after concentration, any of you. But the other fact, how to withdraw the soul currents from the body, come at the back of the eyes, rise above senses, and open the inner eye to see the light of God, that this is not the work of everyone. Blessed you are in whatever religion you have joined. You have taken the first step, that's all right. Now please take up the other step, knowing how to die. Why are we afraid of death? First, we do not know how to leave your body. At the time of death, you might have seen so many people in great agony. When masters come and they give you the very first day experience how to rise above body corruption. You see, you have risen above body corruption. You see that you see the light of God. You have experience of the God beyond with the controlling power, keeping us in the body and controlling all universe. If you do practice that way from day to day, the result is what? You can die daily 100 times a day. But how this thing can happen? There are no... This cannot be explained in words, but this can be had by experience. All sensory currents in the body, there are ways and ways for that, which I will take up in my one subsequent talk here, tomorrow and day after. Why we cannot rise above body consciousness, how to do it, how the experience is given. If you once given experience, you rise above and see, have experience of the controlling power of God which is within you. From day to day, regular practice, you will have no fear of that. And second reason is, we do not know where to go. This is it. Begin to leave your body at will, join the kingdom of God, you see. Well, you know where to go. When you know that, all fear of death is gone. And you will become the conscious co-worker of the divine plan. You will have an everlasting life. This is the mystery that we have solved at the feet of somebody who has known God, who has solved this mystery of life. Call him by any name you like. Whether those masters come, what do they say? Oh man, wake up. Know thyself. It is a golden opportunity you have got to know God. And for that purpose you have obtained various religions. Now we have to see how far we have progressed, attained that object. If we have attained that object, well, it's good. If you can do without such a man as I referred you, without him, have this very experience, well and good. The blind man needs two eyes to see. If you can, then you can have the help of somebody who knows the way and is competent to give you that experience. Even the worldly things, in any subject, in any pursuit, which they all relate to the ongoing faculties, we need somebody expert in that line where do we not, this is a matter of conscience only, do we not need somebody to guide us or give you an experience in the, to have experience of the kingdom of God, which cannot be had by observation, which starts only when you rise above body consciousness? Consider calmly, please. So this is the man-body only which we need, this thing. And for that, there is some qualification required. And you would like to join any medical college, you need the qualification of having a degree of B.Sc. or F.Sc. Whoever had that qualification, whether he belongs to one religion or the other, he can join the medical college. Similarly, this way, there are some qualifications required. First of all, is what you say, purity of heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. All religions will find. Sermon on the Mount was given for that very purpose. Eightfold path of Buddha was given for the same purpose. In all religions you find Yama, Deva, Sesavadi, Hindus give the same thing. How can you expect an emperor to enter in a filthy tavern? Body is the true temple of God. It must be kept pure so that the God may benefit only pure hearts. Because of the purity of heart, that comes, you will love God, love resides in every heart, and we are all of the same, the sense of that of God, we are all children and brothers in God. Well, are you going to harm anyone? Love God and love all humanity. They are all born of the same equal presence of God. One is sitting on the table of a president, the other is subordinate and peer. Well, all the same. The different stages in life is there according to the reactions of the past, but all the same, they are men with the same privileges from God. Then violence in thought, word, deed. Then comes truthfulness. Be true to your own self. Don't deceive your own self. If you want to deceive others, we first deceive our own self. We know that is wrong and still say, is it not a deceiving your own self first? You are within you, and your God is also the controlling power within you, whom you want to meet, and you are going to deceive him, put dust into his eyes, and be chaste. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And God, love God, with all the heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor. All masters say the same thing, of course, in their own language. God is love and love is God. And the way back to God is also love. Those who do not understand love cannot understand God. Who do not know love cannot know God, for God is love. He prayeth best, who loveth best, isn't he? Tenth Guru of the Sixth tells us, and you all, irrespective whether you belong to one religion or the other, I tell you the truth. God is approached only by those who love, true love alone. So that is why it's called God is life, God is light, God is life, God is love. And we are of the same essence as that of God. We are also in love for Son and Mind. That is ingrained in us. That ought to be developed. From selves to families, from families to the classes and to the countries. With all that you would be that create more trouble, more conflicts, because each man tries to love their own bodies, their own families, their own classes, their own countries. But unless you love in your self-expense to cover all the world over, there can be no peace. So when our masters come, they see from that level, they pray, peace be to all the world over. So I give you today the outer, very elementary step to come up further. Tomorrow and the day after, tomorrow there will be two talks successively to give you further insight into the thing, how we have just forgotten ourselves, how can we liberate, know ourselves, whether there is a God, we can see Him, and how and where. This will form the subject of my further two talks tomorrow and day after. Those who are interested in them, they remain in their own religion. I have not come to promote one religion or the other. I see the truth is everywhere. So remain in your own religion, try to understand the teachings given by the masters in their own religion. Whenever they come, they give always universal teachings. That is that I gave you a very common sense point of view. We have to just have the right understanding. For want of right understanding, there is all conflict going on. I have met for this purpose the various social heads, the religious heads, and the political heads too. They are the driving forces of all matters. If your angle of vision is changed, to have the right understanding, there can be peace. So even the political heads too. If our religious have to the right understanding, there will be conflict. The pity it is, even the ministers of the various religions, they do not know the truth, I would say. Otherwise, if they know, this is the truth. Common system. I met the political heads too. I talked with them. I told them, well, all presidents, kings, and other emperors of the various countries, they are given charge of the so many children of God, to be looked after properly. So each country should live and let others live. If one cannot maintain and look after the children of God placed under his care, others should help him, because it is the service of humanity, service of mankind. Why to kill thousands of millions of people? Very common sense, that appeals to everybody, and that has had a great response even from the governors, you see, and the others who met political and social and the political life. For want of right understanding and unity, understanding of the unity already exists in man, all this unrest. Masters come from time to time to unite the child humanity together, the children of God together. They don't break the religion, they say, whatever school of thought you have followed, you are blessed. But take the first step, have the right understanding. So when the masters come, they give always universal teachings. They look to the man from the level of the man body or level of the body soul. And they are the same. they want them to take further step to know God, and to know God they must know themselves first. Today's talk is all tomorrow, all men belonging to various religions. They are all welcome who have got this and such of God within them. I hope they will have the salvation from their own scriptures. Thank you for it.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was the conclusion of Master's 90-minute talk given at the Cowan Heights Ranch in California on December the 12th, 1963. Our reader this morning is Eric Love. Hello, Eric.
Hello, and good morning. And good morning to everyone here today. Master's blessings to all. I'm going to read from Love is the Way, which you can find in February 1976, Sat Sandesh. This talk Master gave in 1964, his tour, and it was a birthday celebration that had been arranged for this date since the Master was soon leaving to India. We are all children of light. I was wondering how I should address you, but I see you in me and I in you. I think the best way I can address you is as my friends. I have not made you slaves, but equals, because only an equal man can recognize what he is. Those under him cannot know him from that status. You are my friends. I have love and regard for you. Ever since I came in contact with you physically in 1955, although physically I was in India, I have been carrying your sweet remembrance with me all along. During the day, I was very much burdened with the work over there. But at night, I was all along with you, replying to your letters. During the day, I was there. At night, I was with you. This is the other part of the world. When there is night there, there is day here. So I was working all during the day. There or here. I have been appreciating your loving thoughts, which you have been sending to me from time to time, and your anxiety to have me here. I wanted to be here, but on account of the exigencies of service, I was tied down over there. But, you know, stone walls do not make a prison house or iron bars, a cage. Though physically I was bound there, in my mind and spirit, you were with me all along. That I can assure you. Even hereafter, the God in me will be with you, guiding you and helping you in all your affairs. It is through the grace of my Master, Baba Salam Singh Ji, that this is being extended to you, that it was extended to you in the past, and that it will continue to be hereafter too. Ever since I've come here, I've been feeling quite at home. I never thought of my home. I forgot India because of the love that radiated all around me. There I was among my friends. And here also, I am among my friends. Of course, during the day, I am here. But at night, I have to attend to India in the same way that I did for you here when I was in India. You are all dear to me. Whether you are in the East or the West makes no difference to me. Outer forms make no difference. I see you from the level of man body, or at the level of embodied souls. You are children of light. This present tour has been taken as the extension of what my master wanted of me. He impressed on me to have a common ground for all men, irrespective of whether they belong to one religion or the other. They are all the same as man, and further, they are embodied souls. He wanted me to have a common ground for all, were men belonging to all religions of the East or West, but sit together on the same earth and under the same canopy of heaven. So it is, His grace, that this present renovation, you might say, or revival of the old, old truths, taught by all past rishis and masters, is being given out. In the Vedas, the Atharva Veda, the Rig Veda, it is said, thousands of you sit all together to God. We have joined various religions, which are our schools of thought, and we have joined them to know God. These religions are our reoccurring centers from which we have to join the army of God. We have to become true khalsas in the term of the 10th Guru of the Sikhs. Zoroaster was asked, we are to join the army of God. What is required to do that? What is the qualification? He never mentioned any one religion or the other. Masters always look to all mankind from the level of the man-body, from the universal level. They consider all humanity to be their family. Guru Nanak had a wife and two sons. When he left his hearth and home to carry out this message to all the world over, the people came up to him and said, what are you doing? Why are you leaving your family? He said, look here, the whole of mankind is not family. This is the level from which all masters who came in the past gave out their teachings. They laid before us the way to come up to that level. These schools of thought that are called religions, which we have joined, and whose outer forms we took as badges, were means to an end to free our souls and unite them with God. They were meant for our freedom, that those very religions have become the chains and fetters to bind us. That was never the purpose of joining any school or religion. So what is required, the people asked Zoroaster, for joining the army of God? He said, righteousness. And what is righteousness? Good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. This is what all the masters said. Guru Nanak said the same thing. Truth is above all, and true living is still above truth. While you are here on this common ground of spirituality, you forget your outer levels of living. This is the first quality you acquire when you come to some master. You lose all otherness. You see all mankind as one. You see the same soul in everyone, the soul which is the drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all children of light. Naturally, what lies before us is to love God. We love God and that very God resides in every heart. Since our souls are the same essence as that of God, naturally we love all. To love all is the main thing, because God is love. God is light, and we are also children of light. God is life, and we are all conscious beings. So the way back to God is also love. This is the main lesson that we learn at the feet of the Masters. It prepares the way to God. All our outer rituals, rites, saying of prayers and reading of scriptures are meant to develop that love and devotion in us. Blessed is a society or the school of thought to which we belong, in which we develop this very precious jewel of love. What is required, as I told you, is righteousness. And righteousness means good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. It further enjoins us naturally to live a life of continence, of control over our senses. So many senses are dragging us through our outgoing faculties to all the world over. If you would like to control one passion, you must have control over all outgoing faculties. If you control one organ of sense and let the others run loose, it is just like putting your hand into a fire and expecting that it will not burn. This is what is required. Control over the senses. The attention, which is the outcome of our souls, or expression of our souls, is diffused into the world through the senses and the sense organs. We know now how to know God, the simple ways. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, by the intellect, or by the vital airs. It is the soul alone that can know God. Like alone can know the like. So the outward expression of soul is attention, which is diffused into the outside world. It is to be collected, you might say. The rays of attention are to be brought back to their source, our soul, which is at the back of the eyes. That is the first thing to be done. You are not to touch the pranas or to have recourse to any physical exercises, or to engage in intellectual wrestling to come to a conclusion. This is because it is the attention or the expression of the soul that gives life to the intellect, to the mind, and to the outgoing faculties. I think you might have at some time experienced that when you sat in a very absorbed condition, you went into a transport. Your intellect and your outgoing faculties did not work. The way of the Masters is purely withdrawing the attention from the outside, entering this laboratory of the man body, and leaving these organs of sense. Retrace all the rays of the attention back to their source. The soul at the back of the eyes. When you come there, you will find God already there. This is the natural way. It is called Sharat Shabd Yoga, or Sharat Yoga. Or you might call it the path to divine. This is the easiest way. Even children see light if a little attention for withdrawal is given. This is a natural way, which all masters gave to the children and to the old, to the learned and to the unlearned. When the masters came, what did they tell us? I mentioned it very briefly in a few words in my message to them. I said, love is the way back to God. God is love, and our souls are also love. And it is through love alone that we can know God. Love knows true renunciation, service, and sacrifice. For whom? Not for the self, but for the good of others, without any consideration. All masters say that love is the way back to God. Read any scripture, and there we are wanting. We are very intellectual, we are very wise in all other affairs, but we are wanting in love. Love is not grown in any field. It cannot be bought at any shop. It is already within you, ingrained within you. It is innate. That love has simply been misfit. Where does that misfit love take us? To the body, to the enjoyment of the senses, and to the attachment of the outside world. The result is, where do we go? We are attached. So this love, which is misdirected, is called love. But if you look to its reality, you'll find that it is God in itself. Because God is love. And our soul is love. When love is withdrawn from the outside and we come within, we come in contact with all love. This is what is required. Christ said, those who do not understand love cannot understand God. Those who do not know love cannot know God. The 10th guru of the Sikhs also gave us the same thing. Hear ye all, irrespective of whether you belong to the East or the West, to one country or the other, or to one religion or the other, I tell you the truth. God is had only through love. But we have not understood the true meaning of love. We take it to be the enjoyment of the senses with the body and the outside things. That is not true love. Mind that. Love is a gift from God to man. Love seeks union with the beloved. First, there is a yearning. There is a pining. You want to see him, to be near him. What is love? What is the result of love? When love is there, whatever, for whomever, you are always, constantly in sweet remembrance of him. That is the outward token of love. First you would like to be near him. Then you would not like to disobey any order he gives. Christ said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said further, I give you a new commandment. Love one another. We say we love God, but we do not love one another. Why? All masters say, love God, love thy neighbor, and love all creation. If we love God and do not love our brothers, then what does the Bible say? You are a liar, you see? If you do not love your brother whom you see, how can you love God whom you do not see? So love, ultimately, after yearning, wants to be near him, to obey him, and then obedience will result in surrender. Obedience seeks the pleasure of the beloved. Why do you want to be obedient? You want to seek the pleasure of the beloved whom you love. One who loves is a lover of the beloved, and one who obeys is the beloved of the beloved. If you love your master, master loves you. Those who are more obedient, who love him and never transcend any of his injunctions, become the most beloved of him. Ramakrishna was sometimes seen weeping for Swami Vivekananda when he did not find him. It was by the grace of my master that I used to go to him twice a week, sometimes weekly, the maximum number of times I could. Sometimes it happened that I could not go, and he would send someone to go and find out why I did not come. It also happened that he took the car and drove to Lahore about 40 miles and then went and stood under my office and sent a man up to call me down. You see, if you love Master, and Master loves you the most, then you become the beloved of the beloved. Read that again. You see, if you love the Master loves you the most. You become the beloved of the Master. We have not ever thought the value of love. We say we are lovers of the Master. Then why is there so much discord and disunion? When two men love the same thing, they should only be competition of this kind. If one man puts in 6 hours in meditation, you put in 7 hours. If one man serves selflessly, you do even more service than that. If one man puts one shoulder to the wheel, you put your two shoulders to the wheel. This is what he really means by love. About love, I say, one who loves is the lover of the beloved. And one who obeys becomes the beloved of the beloved. Who is the greater? And that love should also be within a respectful mood. Once I wrote to my master in a letter which said, pray, grant me love, your love, but that love should be within respectful limits. Sometimes out of love we transcend the limits. Sometimes we want to overrule the one whom we love. That's not the way of a true lover. He received the letter and put it on his breast. He said, I want such a one who loves with a respectful mood. You will find that for one who surrenders, nothing has any existence other than the beloved. Surrender is above obedience. Obedience is sometimes practiced in a willy-nilly way, but surrender means giving up everything for the beloved. You have nothing else except the beloved. So greater than love is obedience, mind that. Greater than love is obedience. And these can be summed up in love divine. This is perhaps the only lesson or injunction or counsel I can give you to make you successful in all ways of life, especially in your spiritual life. because you abide in the one you love. Christ said, let my words abide in you, and you abide in me. How can you abide in him? First, by obedience, and second, by surrender. As you think, so you become. The fifth guru of the Sikhs tells us that if the disciples remember the master, what does the master do? Whom does he remember? His loving souls. Never for a moment think that God and the master forgets you. For instance, I told you at the commencement of my talk that when I was in India, I was there with you here at night. When I am here, I am there at night. When the sun rises here, I am. When the sun rises there, I am there. When the sun rises here, I am here. You see? That is God in me, not the Son of Man. Godhood is the birthright of every man. Fortunately, we have that birthright. It is the grace of God. And the grace of God has further descended that we have some desire, some yearning for God. To achieve him, to find him, that we have cared to join any school of thought or religion. It is possible through love alone to become God, I would say. The lover and the beloved both become one. Christ said, I and my Father are one. And St. Paul said, it is not I, but Christ that liveth in me. This is what is meant by the word Gurumukh. Master is a God in man, and a lover of the master becomes a Gurumukh. He becomes a guru, a God man in man. This is the ultimate feat of love and the easiest way. I remember a story that has just struck me. Lord Rama went into exile for 14 years and went to the wilderness where many of the yogis were living. There was one lady there, a very low caste. She heard that Lord Rama was coming into exile in the wilderness, and what did she do? She thought Rama will be coming and he will be barefooted, so the thorns might prick his feet. So she simply cleared the way of all thorns. And then she thought in the heart of her heart, when he comes, what shall I offer him? In the wilderness there is no food to eat, but there are berries everywhere. So she began to pluck berries and taste them. Those that were sweet she put in her pocket. So she kept all those tasted berries with her. Each of the yogis who was living there thought that perhaps he was the greatest of the yogis and that Lord Rama would be coming to his cottage. Mind them, this I-hood, I know better, I am better than all these others, is the last weakness that leaves a man, even the so-called masters. But where did Rama go? When he went to the wilderness, he met the lady who had collected the berries. And what did he do? She offered him those berries that were tasted, and he ate them. Love knows no law. Love is above law. So yogis living there had been doing penances for hundreds of years. Then he went to them, and they came up to him and asked, will you kindly grace our cottage? There was a pond of water where they lived, and it was full of small insects. There was no other source of water. And they asked Lord Rama if he would just clean the pond of all dirt and insects by his grace, by putting his feet into the water. He said, no, I think you are the greatest of yogis. Why don't you put your feet in the water, for they must be better able to clear up the pond. They did, and the water remained the same. Then they forced him, kindly put your feet into the water and all insects will go. All right, it is up to you. And he also put his feet into the pond, but the insects were still there. Lord Rama had to demonstrate the greatness of love. True love does not know any shell mind now. He said, I think it would be the best if you called Bilni, a woman of very low caste, and put her feet into the water. She came and put her feet into the pond, and it was cleared. These are instances to show that love is a great miracle. God is love. Through love only, you become one with God. You can become one with Him you love. As you think, so you become. So I'll finish there. And this talk today is entitled Love is a Way, from the February 1976 Sandesh. And thank you, Master, for bringing us all here and give us the opportunity of your love and your grace and your wonderful sensing.
And thank you, Eric, for reading for us. There were 80 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
Love is true love, which is our charity, which is already ingrained in our soul. If that is directed towards God, that is true love. God is love, our soul is also love personified. And the way back to God is also love.